Okay, I'd like us to look at a scripture in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 44. Lord, we thank you for another opportunity to share your word with your people. We ask that the word we hear this morning will bring us life. That
Amen.
It will bring us life as it is written, that your word lamp unto our feet. That as we hear this morning, we will be edified.
Amen.
That our man will be strengthened.
Amen.
And come to that place where we begin to benefit with that which you have wrought on our behalf in the heavens.
Amen.
Lord, we bless your name, we worship you, and we receive your word this morning with thanksgiving. In Yahushua's prayer.
Amen.
Yesterday, when I was looking at today's meeting and praying about it and turning my heart to the Lord, to hear what he will say, the Lord brought this scripture in the book of Ezekiel, chapter 44. I want to read from verse 6 to 23. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 44, I'll read from verse 6. It says, "And thou shalt say to the rebellious, even to the house of Israel, thus said the Lord God, O ye house of Israel, let it suffice you of all your abominations, in that you have brought into my sanctuary strangers, uncircumcised in heart and uncircumcised in flesh, to be my sanctuary, to pollute it, even my house, when ye offer my bread, the fat and the blood, and they have broken my covenant because of all your abominations. And they have not kept the charge of my holy things, but you have set keepers of my charge in my sanctuary for yourself. Thus says the Lord Elohim, no stranger of any stranger, the children of Israel, and the Levites that are gone away far from me, when Israel went astray, which went astray away from me after their idols, they shall even bear their iniquity. Yet they shall be ministers in my sanctuary, having charge at the gates of the house and ministering to the house. They shall slay the burnt offering and the sacrifice for the people, and they shall stand before them to minister unto them. Because they ministers unto them before their idols, and caused the house of Israel to fall into iniquity. Therefore have I lifted up my hand against them, saith the Lord Elohim, and they shall bear their iniquity. And they shall not come near unto me to do the office of a priest unto me, or to come near to any of my holy things in the most holy place, but they shall bear their shame and the abominations which they have committed. But I make them keepers of the charge of the house for all the service thereof, and for all that shall be done therein. But the priests, the Levites, the sons of Zadok, that kept the charge of my sanctuary when the children of Israel went astray from me, they shall come near to me to minister, and they shall stand before me to offer unto me the fat and the blood, said the Lord Elohim. They shall enter into my sanctuary, and they shall come near to my table to minister unto me, and they shall keep my charge. And it shall come to pass that when they enter in at the gates of the inner court, they shall be clothed with linen garments, and no wound shall come upon them while they minister in the gates of the inner courts and within. They shall have linen bonnets upon their heads. They shall put off their garments wherein they ministered, and lay them in the holy chambers. And they shall put on other garments, and they shall not sanctify the people with their garments. Neither shall they have their heads, nor suffer their locks to grow long. They shall only pull their heads. Neither shall any priest drink wine when they enter into the inner court. Neither shall they take for their wives a widow, nor her that is put away, but they shall take maidens of the seed of the house of Israel, or a widow that had a priest before. And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and clean. And in controversy they shall stand in judgment, and they shall judge according to my judgment, and they shall keep my laws and my statutes in all my assemblies, and they shall hallow my Sabbaths. Yeah, so when this scripture came and I read it, I began to weigh it before the Lord to see what the Lord would want to say to us concerning this matter. And after I looked at it, the thing that kept coming to me is that we should be careful, especially in the way our nation is positioned today, and then the multitude of words that are coming as prophecies from different sources that is causing us to just sway in different directions. Because we belong to different platforms, and most of the times, a lot of things are posted as prophecies. And by the time we begin to look at these things, we have a tendency to even begin to forget what the Lord has said to us, his own words. So because if you look at it, one thing that the Lord expects of us as priests is to be in that place where we are ministering to him before the holy place and not ministering to the people. So when we look at this scripture, this is a place where the Lord says that if we just give ourselves to be influenced by the people to go into idolatry with them, that it's going to have the effect of excluding us from the priesthood that ministers to him. That he's just going to restrict us to the gates to be ministering to people, since we want to be influenced by how the people are feeling and their emotions. You know, and if you look at this, it just brings us to that place where we begin to look at the main reason for priesthood. The reason for priesthood is to bring us to that place where we will influence the people to be able to make a distinction between that which is holy and that which is profane. And if you look at it, if you look at Hebrews chapter 6, one of the foundational doctrines at the faith that talks about repentance from dead works, you know, this is what it is talking about. When we begin to give consideration to things that do not have the life of the Spirit, you know, once we allow people's opinions, you know, what people are saying, what the circumstances are saying, you know, what we are just reading from the general house, and we begin to flow with the tide, with everybody, we lose that place in the holy place. Because our priesthood is supposed to be regulated by the voice of God. And many times, what God is saying will be contrary to what the people are saying. And so if we look at another scripture, you know, in the book of Exodus chapter 30, verse 9, it says, "You shall offer no strange incense thereon, nor burnt sacrifice, nor meat offering, neither shall ye pour drink offering thereon." So strange incense are things that are coming from the court of human emotions. Prophecies that are coming from the second heaven. Because a lot of people have opened themselves to different kinds of spirits. If we look at the state of the church today, there are many prophets that have arisen. They are hearing from certain spirits, but definitely not the Spirit of God. You know, because God will never say a word that is contrary to his nature and character. And our, you know, the word of God must balance what we are hearing in the spirit. If we hear anything that is not in line with the word of God, not in line with the nature of God, that not in line with the counsel of God that is already revealed as his word, we should not give heed to it. We should just throw it away. Many prophecies that are out there today are just echoing what is the heart of the enemy. And they have a tendency to make us afraid instead of inspire faith in us. You know, so God considers it as strange offering. God considers it as dead works. And God is calling us to repent in ways that we have opened our heart to those kind of prophecies. If you also look at the Old Testament in the book of Leviticus, you see what happened when the sons of Aaron burned strange fire before the altar of God. It says, and Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, took out of them his censer and put fire therein, and put incense therein, and offered strange fire before Yahweh, which he commanded them not. And there went out fire from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. So most of these things are what God considers as strange fires. And God responds to them by killing those who bring it. In the Old Testament, he killed them physically. But in our own dispensation, it brings about spiritual death. You might still think that you are hearing, you might still think that you are receiving some things, but it's no longer coming from the channel of the Spirit of God. You know, so we must never allow circumstances to arise that make us lose sight of what God has spoken to us as his people. You know, because when we receive prophetic words, we should actually look at it. If you look at the Bible gives us a guideline on how to respond to prophecies. You know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I believe verse 29 tells us to listen to prophecies and then judge those prophecies. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verse 29, say, let the prophet speak two or three, and let the other judge. So when we hear words of prophecy, we should actually look at it in the light of the word of God. We should look at it in the light of other prophecy that has been spoken by some vessels, and then make a determination whether this thing is from God. If it is not from God, we have no business with it. Because the word of God admonishes us to take heed of what we hear. Once we determine that something cannot be from God, we throw it away and remove it even from our consciousness. We do not give any consideration to it. We actually pray so that it is just out of our system. But then, if we have now judged that thing to be the word of God, to be something that is from God, then we should take ownership of it. It's no longer a prophecy spoken by brother this or brother that. It now becomes the word of God to us. If we judge this, because God will speak through people, God will speak through vessels. So if we judge that this is the word of God, we judge that this prophecy is from the Spirit of God, then it becomes the word of God to us. We take ownership of it, that this is what God is saying to us in this circumstance. And then when we take ownership of it, another scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18, tells us to now begin to war with those prophecies. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 18. It says, this charge I commit unto thee, son Timothy, according to the prophecies which went before on thee, that thou by them mightest war a good warfare. So if we receive it as the word of God, we take ownership of it, and then we begin to walk with it. We begin to speak it to circumstances that appear contrary.
Yeah.
And then if we look at another scripture, before we come to this place, in the book of Habakkuk, Habakkuk chapter 2, from verse 1, it says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. And I said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables, that he may run and redeem it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie, though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. You know, so this scripture tells us what to do in the interim between what God has said and the fulfillment. It says that we should stand on our watch. We should take our position as watchmen. We should write down what God has said and make it the basis of our engagement. It is what God has said that we now begin to deploy in warfare. And if you look at scriptures, three major ways that we can war with prophecy. Number one, for that thing that he has said, even when it has not been fulfilled. You know, so our prayers will now be more of thanksgiving prayers, so that we are thanking God for what he has said in that situation. In our situation in Nigeria, the Lord has said that Nigeria is called as a missionary nation, that will proclaim the gospel of the kingdom to the ends of the earth before the Lord returns. So we can pray, Lord, we give you thanks because you have called Nigeria a missionary nation that will proclaim the end time gospel before your return in glory. That no matter what we are seeing today, our sight is upon your word, that Nigeria will fulfill that calling. You know, and then we can also proclaim scriptures. Like if you look at Psalm 103. It says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thy iniquities? Who healeth all thy diseases? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles? The Lord executed righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. So we can begin to give God thanks for that which he has spoken while we are awaiting the fulfillment. We begin to repeat back to God his promise to say, this is what you have spoken in this situation. The condition and everything looks contrary, but our faith is in your word, that it will come to pass. Because he says, even if it tarries, that we should wait for it because it will speak in the end. So the second way that we war with prophetic words is through declarations. We can find words to declare in that situation that reflects the mind of God. Like the scripture we read this morning in Isaiah chapter 51, especially from verse 21. It says, therefore, hear now this, thou afflicted and drunken, but not with wine. Thus saith Yahuwah, your Elohim, that pleaded the cause of his people. Behold, I have taken out of thy hand the cup of trembling, even the dregs of the cup of my fury. Thou shalt no more drink it again. But I will put it into the hand of them that afflict thee, which have said to thy soul, bow down, that we may go over. And thou hast laid thy body as the ground and as the streets to them that went over. So we can declare such scriptures. And scriptures like the proclamation of Yahuwah's sovereignty we can begin to praise him as one who is sovereign in every situation, and that his word is bound to come to pass, because it is through his spoken word that the universe was framed. You know, everything that is playing as adversaries to God, we are created. We mustn't lose sight of that. The worst that Satan can bring to the table, if you just wait, you can look at it, that Satan is also a being that was created by God. He is not in a position to stand as an equal or opposite to God. So everything he is doing is within the allowance that God has given to him. And the Bible says that everything, including Satan himself, will ultimately serve to bring about the fulfillment of God's counsel. So we can declare some affirmative scriptures that reflect the mind of God. You know, scriptures like Psalm 33 that reminds us that the universe was framed into being by the word of God. And then the third way that we work through prophecies is through praise. No matter how negative the situation is, when we begin to praise God in spite of what we are seeing, it's actually the highest expression of our faith and confidence in him. Because the Bible says that without faith, nobody can ultimately please God. So we're praising you, Lord, in spite of the negative situation around us. We are still praising you for who you are. We are still praising you because we have faith in your word. We are still praising you because we can see with the eye of faith that the end result you have promised will be fulfilled. So when we begin to respond in this way, it places us in the place where we are still within the inner court, and then in that inner court, we can have access to what is happening before the throne. You know, because if you read Revelation chapter 5, Revelation chapter 6, you'll discover that the counsel of God for nations are unfolded before him like in scrolls. And there is nothing that will work out in history that is not a reflection of a scroll that has been opened in heaven by the Lord himself. And if you read that scripture, it shows us that it is actually sons of God who minister in the inner courts that have access to read from those scrolls. Because the Lord opens it, but he doesn't release the privilege to read those scrolls is given to sons, you know, priests who have access to the inner courts, to the Holy of Holies. So one thing we must take this morning is to be careful that we are not the Levitical priesthood that is now restricted to the gates of the court to minister to the people. Because once you allow yourself to come to that place, what you will be hearing is just the emotion of the people and how they have been affected by all the negative things that the enemy is bringing to generate fears. And then sometimes they bring some kind of prayers. Let us pray these prayers. And you see it, most of those prayers are just reactionary in nature, reacting to what Satan is doing. We have shared with us on this platform that reactionary prayers are not the kind of prayers that God recommends for his priests. We are supposed to walk in line with the Holy Spirit to anticipate even what the enemy is doing and then respond according to how God will want us to respond. We are supposed to dictate. We are supposed to take the battle to the gates of the enemy. We are not supposed to wait until Satan is doing something and then we begin to react to it. So if we are in that place where we are still before the court, in the inner court, before the Holy of Holies, God will write his instructions in our heart and we will be in the place of faith to see that no matter what the enemy is bringing, God already anticipated it. So when I looked at the scripture that the Lord gave us in Ezekiel chapter 44, it just inspired my heart to begin to repent that in any way that I have elevated the words of the enemy higher than the word of God, that I'm sorry. In any way that I have allowed what the enemy is doing, what we can see with our physical eyes, what we can see about the state of the nation, any way that I have allowed it to drown the express counsel of God that he has made known to us, that I offer repentance. And then once in a while, we should, if we have notes, go through our notes to remind us of what God has said about our situation, about our nation, about the end time. You know, God has said that he will have Nigeria. God has promised us that the enemy will not prevail. God has promised us that eventually he's going to raise a man of righteousness over the throne of our nation. And then we can also pray and remind God of petitions that we have made before him. Because during our last retreat, we had a court session where we said some things to God and said, this is where we are standing concerning our nation. We can remind God that this is our stand and we are not taking it back. So I'm encouraging us this morning that no matter what the enemy is saying, it is not enough to overthrow the express counsel of God. And we are saying that we are the generation that we see the fulfillment of the word of God. You know, because as long as God can have a remnant of people who believe him, it's enough for him to do what he has promised. And we want to be part of that remnant that stand on what God has said until we see the fulfillment. So this morning, I would like us to bring a response before the Lord. Our first response is to say to the Lord, in ways that we have allowed the words of the enemy to drown out his express promises that has been clearly communicated to us, that will bring repentance. We come to bring repentance for every way that we have not honored God, for every way that we have allowed profane things to come before the court of God, in ways that we have not been careful to separate between that which is holy and that which is profane, in ways that we have even succumbed to join some kind of prayers that are not out of faith, but out of fear. Because some prayer points that they share, they say, pray this prayer now, because this is what the enemy is doing. Pray this prayer now, because this is either Kabir, and they have gone to make sacrifices of rams and things like that. And they will begin to pray in panic mode. So Lord, in ways that we have allowed the enemy to influence us, to affect us, to influence the direction that we take, even in our prayers, we are sorry. In ways that we have allowed fear and the loud voice of the enemy to drown out the express promises that you have given to us as a people, the promises you have given to us in this altar, and even some words that you have spoken to us, out of which we have made covenants with you. And yet in moments of pressure, we forget and we begin to dance to the drum that the enemy is beating. So Lord, we come to offer you repentance in ways that we have just thrown away our words because of the circumstances, you know, what we are seeing presently, because of the adverse circumstances that appear to be prevailing. And we begin to lose sight of your word. And we begin to respond in fear. Lord, we are sorry. Please forgive us. Let's just ask the Lord to forgive us, to have mercy on us. We offer repentance. Even when we have not mounted it, but then our attitude have just shown that we are no longer standing on what the Lord has said to us. But consciously or unconsciously, we have shifted position based on what we are seeing. Lord, we are sorry. Please forgive us. Let us begin to reaffirm our faith in the word of God, that we believe what the Lord has spoken concerning our nation. We believe what the Lord has spoken concerning our family. We believe what the Lord has spoken concerning us. We believe what the Lord has spoken concerning this time. Lord, we believe your report. We bring a response to the question, whose report will you believe? We answer in this altar, we will believe the report of the Lord. It doesn't matter what the enemy is broadcasting through social media, through mass media. We believe the word of the Lord. We do not look at what we are seeing. We are looking at the word of God. And your word is yes and amen. Lord, we want to keep our place in the inner court. We do not want to be among the number that will be restricted to the gates because of the way we have ministers to the idols in the heart of the people. So Lord, we keep our place in the inner court, that we will continue to be among the number that minister to you, that we have access to your courts, that we have access to your table to see the counsel that you have for the nations, that we will continue to be able to read the scrolls that are opening before you concerning the nations, concerning the states, concerning this time. That we continue to be able to read from those scrolls. That we continue to have access to what the church in heaven is doing. And that our prayers will line up. Lord, we thank you because you will arise and have mercy upon Zion, because the time to favor her has come. Lord, we thank you. We receive the word of comfort that you're offering us today through the scripture in Isaiah chapter 51, that our wilderness will yet be like the Garden of Eden, that our dry land will turn green, that will be the generation that will rebuild the old waste places.
Amen.